This Week in Agriculture, a production of the Red River Farm Network. With a look at markets, I'm Randy Conan. Grain markets seeing a lot of price volatility in recent weeks. NDSU Extension crops economist Frayne Olson says there's a lot to keep track of.
There's just a lot of moving parts here. And I always remind everybody that the two biggest things we don't know is obviously weather and politics. And it sure seems like both of those are taking front and center stage here. There is this, some underlying support just because our U.S. balance sheets are a little tighter. Our ending stocks are down a little bit from what we thought they were going to be before. Our export pace has been pretty good, in particular for corn, but also, you know, soybeans have been holding pretty well. Wheat is actually, you know, we've had some pretty decent wheat export levels, especially earlier in the year. They slowed down over the holiday season, but they're starting to recover now. So there's some supportive things going on, but there's just a lot of uncertainty, in particular on the trade front.
Olson's advice for farmers is simple.
Do like you've done before. What I want you to do is try and pick some more pricing points. I keep asking the question, at what price would you be willing to sell more? Whether it be old crop out of the bin or whether it be new crop into 2025. Know what your cost of production is, know what your break-evens are, and say, okay, at what price would I be willing to sell more? And when you pick those and you have time to do the calculations and the math behind it, put the orders in ahead of time. We're going to see a lot of volatility moving forward. There's going to be a lot of ups and downs every day. And so it's going to be, you're not fast enough as a farm manager to chase the market. The only way that you can really be playing in this kind of game is to be ahead of it.
Statistics Canada releasing their December 31st grain and oilseed stocks in all positions report on Friday morning. Canola stocks 11.4 million metric tons, down 19% from a year ago. All wheat stocks 24.5 million tons, up 1% from a year ago. Durum stocks are up 13% from a year ago at 3.6 million metric tons. Van On and Company analyst Christy Van On calls the all wheat number disappointing.
So I think that's, you know, a little bit problematic. Wheat has been doing a really good job being able to kind of turn a corner, and I'd like to see it continue to do that. But the Stats Can report this morning, all wheat stocks at 24.481 million metric ton, and it was expected at 23. So that's really disappointing. And last year was 20.68, so a lot more wheat in Canada than it was expected in last year. And I just think that, you know, the market's doing a good job shrugging that off, not too negative. But overall, I just think you're looking at this dynamic and saying, who wants to be the leader here? And I don't know if there's enough of a story for anyone to kind of take that charge right now.
U.S. Commodities President Don Rowe says traders were taking money off the table ahead of the weekend on Friday.
Funds big longs in the corn market, mildly long in the soybean market, and I think it was just a little bit get me back to home base. Really didn't do any technical damage, although we're up at the top end of the ranges, Randy, and we just can't make new highs. We make little new highs, but nothing significant. So you got to be careful. Been a big, long, uptrending market, you know, if this thing can change at some time seasonally.
And Progressive Ag Marketing market analyst Brian Strauman said that cattle market saw a little bit of profit-taking as well.
Some small gains today. You look at the export sales, they were good this week for the live cattle. But we have the second type of bird flu being reported and detected in a dairy cow. That certainly added some pressure on Thursday. The cash market has also down this week anywhere from $1 to $4, but it's still at a discount to the cash. And I think that's, again, helping the live cattle today.
And that's a look at markets this week in agriculture. I'm Randy Conan. Are you a farmer looking to stay on top of the trends in the industry? Attend the International Crop Expo February 19th and 20th at the Alera Center in Grand Forks. This free event includes seminars and a trade show featuring over 100,000 square feet of farm machinery and vendors. Hear from keynote speakers John Newton, Wyatt Wardner, and Bobby Sondrial. The International Crop Expo at the Alera Center in Grand Forks, February 19th and 20th. Learn more at cropexpo.com.
Sign up for the Red River Farm Network's weekly e-newsletter. FarmNet News arrives in your inbox every Monday morning. American Sugar Beet Growers Association President Neil Rockstead is a subscriber.
That weekly email that the Red River Farm Network comes out with is my go-to place for ag news. If there's only one thing that I read all week in regards to ag news in the Red River Valley and nationwide, it's always your email, hands down.
FarmNet News, delivering news to your email every Monday. Subscribe at rrfn.com.
With a look at the news this week in agriculture here on the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson. Mexican cattle and bison imports have resumed crossing the border early this week. Shipments were halted in November of 24 after the detection of New World screwworm in southern Mexico. Following extensive discussions, the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service and Mexican officials have implemented a strict pre-clearance inspection and treatment protocol to ensure the safe movement of livestock and prevent the spread of the parasite. Secretary of State Marco Rubio visited Panama over the weekend, discussing China's presence and role at the Panama Canal with Panamanian president. Panama's president said ownership of the Panama Canal is not up for negotiation. However, there was an agreement to begin technical talks to clarify China's role with the canal, and the infrastructure agreement between China and Panama will not be renewed. The American Sugar Beet Growers Association annual meetings was held in San Diego earlier this week. Red River Valley Sugar Beet Growers Association President Brent Baldwin was in attendance and said that he saw events such as this as opportunities to share ideas with other sugar beet farmers.
Whether it be processing, planting, seeding, it's just a good place to get together and share our ideas and thoughts.
Baldwin Farms near St. Thomas, North Dakota.
We had a great crop this year. It was a nice crop. You know, we dried out early. We caught some rains the end of August and into September, and crop finished off well. No, it was a very nice crop.
Earlier in the week, President Trump announced tariffs for both Canada and Mexico. After some deliberation, Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum Pardo said the U.S. is pausing tariffs on the country for 1 month after the two reached a series of agreements. Mexico will immediately send 10,000 National Guard troops to its northern border to curb drug trafficking, particularly fentanyl, from entering the United States. In response, the U.S. has pledged to crack down on high-powered weapons being smuggled into Mexico. The Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA trade show were held this week in San Antonio, Texas. Minnesota State Cattlemen's Association President Jake Thompson discussed a policy being introduced regarding disaster payments.
Basically, it started with our ERP2 program, the ERP program. We had some producers that qualified because they had some drought to get some of that relief, and the FSA gave the money out, ended up saying, oh, sorry, you didn't have every acre on your farm underinsured. So majority would end up being either grass or alfalfa. And so then they were required to give a percentage of that money back. And we just felt that's not right.
The National Farmers Union, RCAF USA, and four cattle producers are asking the court to approve its $83.5 million class action settlement with JBS. NFU President Rob LaRue said the antitrust action against Tyson, Cargill, and National Beef will continue. Avian flu has been confirmed at Rose Acre Farms, the second largest egg producer in the U.S. The outbreak was detected at the company's Seymour, Indiana facility, affecting 2.8 million birds. Since the start of the year, outbreaks at Layer Farms have led to the loss of at least 13 million birds, further straining egg supplies. U.S. Department of Agriculture also confirmed new cases in backyard poultry, dairy cows, and wild birds across multiple states. USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service reported that in addition to poultry, mammals such as domestic cats, dolphins, red foxes, and squirrels have tested positive for the H5N1 virus. The Senate Ag Committee unanimously approved the nomination of Brooke Rollins to be the next Agriculture Secretary. This sends her nomination to the full Senate. Senate Agriculture Committee Chair John Bozeman said Rollins brings her lifelong commitment advocating for rural America to USDA. Ranking Member Amy Klobuchar supported the nomination but said there are concerns about tariffs, workforce issues, and conservation. And that's your look at news this week in agriculture here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson.
I'm a 55-year-old farmer, and for a while I was in a bad place, feeling like no matter what I did, the equipment broke down, the weather was still bad, prices were still low. I felt hopeless, and I even considered ending it all. One day I called 988, and it saved my life. After talking with 988, my family and close friends, I realized I have a lot to live for.
You add the value to North Dakota agriculture. This effort is associated with North Dakota State Suicide Prevention Program.
The Red River Farm Network is reporting on the happenings in Bismarck with the North Dakota Legislative Report. Each Friday morning at 6:37, you'll hear from lawmakers and ag leaders. This special coverage made possible by NDFB, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, North Dakota Grain Growers Association, Northern Pulse Growers Association, North Dakota Farmers Union, and the North Dakota Corn Growers Association. The North Dakota Legislative Report, Fridays on the Red River Farm Network.
With a look at weather this week in agriculture, I'm Randy Conan. Midwest will see an active pattern over the next couple of weeks with regular rounds of light rain and snow. World Weather Incorporated says 75% of the Midwest will receive rain and snow spreading from Nebraska to Kentucky. Once the current snow system across the northern plains moves eastward, World Weather says the plains, northern plains, will be dry over the next couple of weeks, mostly in the single digits and teens. Rains will be frequent enough in central and southern Brazil to delay soybean harvest and second crop corn planting. World Weather says the remainder of Brazil will see a good mix of rain and sunshine over the next 2 weeks, with enough rain to keep crop conditions favorable. Much of central and northern Argentina will also be hot and dry, creating more crop stress through Tuesday with a few highs in the lower 110s. Southern Argentina will not be as hot, and crop conditions there should remain more favorable due to the recent rains. World Weather says rain is expected next week, beginning in southern Argentina Monday and then spreading northward the remainder of the week. The fall season was the driest on record for the entire country. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says that hasn't changed over the winter months.
If you look at some of the numbers for a season-to-date snowfall in the Red River Valley, half of normal or less for season-to-date snowfall. So if you combine the fact that we had the dry late summer and autumn, not much snow, we've got a lot of areas in North Dakota environs that are going to be short on soil moisture heading into spring planting unless we get a big change between now and April and May.
During an appearance at the Northern Corn and Soybean Expo, Rippey said that trend could continue into the growing season.
Using our crystal ball a little bit and looking at some of the dynamical and statistical forecast models, there are signs that we could see a ridge of high pressure developing over or near the northwestern United States late spring to early summer, and that might propagate eastward. Again, this is just going off model guidance, but there are concerns that some of those D2 and D3, the severe to extreme drought areas in, say, western North Dakota, could go into a warm, dry, late spring and summer period, possibly.
For the second year in a row, Minnesota is experiencing another dry winter. University of Minnesota Southwest Research and Outreach Center researcher Jeff Strock says it's a trend that could continue throughout much of the state.
I went in and I looked at the Minnesota DNR website for snow depth, you know, around this very time the last three winters. And if you go back to 2023, essentially the whole entire state was covered with 4 to 24 inches of snow. It's really amazing. And then you go back to last year, and there's a band essentially from that Fargo-Moorhead area all the way down to Rochester where there's less than 4 inches of snow, and we know how open and dry it was. And then you'll look at it this year, and about two-thirds of the state has got 4 inches or less, and probably about half of the state has zero snow.
Wheat diseases were at their highest level in 5 years this past season. Speaking at the Best of the Best in Wheat and Soybean Research, NDSU Extension plant pathologist Andrew Friskop says timing will be critical for fungicide applications.
Right now, our current recommendation for scab timing is about a 7-day window. It starts at early flowering, and you have about 7 days, which is a huge win for us because Mother Nature throws us curveballs, knowing that we have a little bit of time on our side.
And Friskop said the timing of those applications could even be more important than fungicide selection. That's a look at weather this week in agriculture. I'm Randy Conan.
Every farm is unique. Every farmer makes their own decisions. Minnesota Farm Business Management delivers individualized service to help you through that process.
It's my job to make sure you understand your ratios so you can make educated decisions. You understand your cost of production so you can make marketing decisions. You understand your crop insurance. You can help make those decisions. I try to make sure you understand what it is that you need to do on your business.
Visit agcentric.org to find an instructor near you. Minnesota Farm Business Management. The Red River Farm Network is reporting agriculture's business with the markets, farm news, and weather information you need each and every day.
Again, hats off to you, Don, and the Red River, what you guys do connecting your listeners to what's happening and people and telling stories. You guys are doing an awesome job at it, so thank you.
That's Greg Peterson, better known as Machine Repeat. The Red River Farm Network can be heard from Worthington to War Road, from Bismarck to Bemidji, 23 radio stations, and online at rrfm.com.